Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast,
where we dive into all things digital automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakara. While I'm not podcasting, I help people keep up with the fast-changing digital technologies at botnirvana.org. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. We have Sarah Burnett on the show today. Sarah is a distinguished industry analyst advising enterprises on automation technologies, sourcing, and market trends. She is a frequent speaker and active blogger and is named in Computer Weekly's Most Influential Women in Technology Hall of Fame. In this chat, we talk about the impact of AI on automation, process mining, task mining, and what KYP AI calls productivity mining. We also discuss some emerging use cases with generative AI and automation. Let's listen in. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. You're such a thought leader in this space. I've been hearing from you a lot. So I know listeners know about you, but just for people who don't know, can you give a quick intro?
Hello, Nandan. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm absolutely delighted to be here talking to you today. I'm an intelligent automation industry analyst and chief technology evangelist at KYP.AI. I'm also the author of the book, The Autonomous Enterprise Powered by AI, which was published last year by the British Institute for IT.
Awesome. I forgot about your book, so thank you for mentioning that. And so you've been in this space for so long, a thought leader. I think you've seen intelligent automation evolve over a period of time. So what's the inherent value of intelligent automation?
Well, I think fundamentally the value is in scaling and speeding up straight through processing. And that, of course, then leads to reduced costs, so increases efficiency and reduces costs. But there's a lot more to the value that it can generate for organizations. And one aspect that I think we could all focus a bit more on is the human angle, you know, being able to empower employees to do their work faster and better makes for happier employees. When they're happier, you know, not only do they achieve the outcomes that are expected of them, but they also get that sense of achievement. And given that even today with the downturn in the economy, there is a shortage of skills, particularly in shared services. And so, you know, why not look after your employees, empower them with tools, intelligent automation tools, and, you know, improve their job satisfaction, their retention and engagement at work.
Yeah. And so the book that you're mentioning about an autonomous enterprise. So we are talking about freeing up people, right? And so I think one of the key things, we're already seeing this, that the workforce is shrinking. We really need help in terms of carrying out tasks that we were doing. And especially the newer generations, like my kids who are coming in now, they don't like to do all this repetitive work. So I think it would be mandatory or something we would really need, that, you know, that we need to take out this repetitive work from the enterprises. So carrying on forward on that theme, so how have you seen this intelligent automation landscape or environment evolve, and how do you think that's going to evolve?
Well, I think there was initially a lot of focus on robotic process automation. That was like the hot thing. Right. A few years ago, the landscape has sort of widened, so to speak, and many other tools are now being used, including chatbots. I mean, just look at the huge difference that ChatGPT has made to many organizations and many individuals using it as a productivity tool, as well as, of course, you know, intelligent document processing, general conversational AI, etc. So I think the focus is shifting from that sort of heavily robotic process automation focus that we had a few years ago to the wider capabilities. And I think the augmentation of humans is going to be the major trend, because, you know, straight through processing will happen anyway. But, you know, we have seen that people want tools that help them. They don't want to do those repetitive tasks that you mentioned in your question. And also they want help with what they're doing. And, you know, the kind of things that we can do today, we couldn't do even just a few years ago, like better online guidance for employees, the number of contact center staff who, you know, need information at their fingertips so that they can do things better and faster and quicker. You know, those kinds of tools, I think, will become more important than some of the previous kind of trends that we have seen, the tools for the kind of tool trends that we have seen. So it's all about augmentation, you know, so it's not about partial automation, something that we used to talk about before, or assisted automation. It's about augmentation.
Yeah. And I see that spectrum of things coming in, right, between augmentation to autonomous. So we, as you say, autonomous is going to be there, the straight through processing is going to be there, but which we'll also see in a lot of augmentation, it looks like, with the chatbots and the co-pilots, especially the co-pilots that's coming up everywhere now. So it's, I think it's going to be a spectrum between augmentation and an autonomous enterprise. And, you know, like you say, the tool landscape or the technology landscape has widened so much. Now we have much more technologies out there. We started with RPA, but, you know, we now have, like you say, you know, we, the recent edition of LLMs, but we've also had technologies like conversational AI and also process mining, process intelligence, process task mining, and things like that, which is helping you understand the processes, whether it is, you know, becoming a more autonomous enterprise or whether you're becoming a more augmented enterprise. So what do you think, how do you think these tools, the process discovery tools, how the, and I'm saying so many terms there, but process discovery.
Well, I can distinguish for you between the terms. Okay, I think it's really important because they are confusing.
There's
process mining, which is typically based on logs generated by ERP solutions.
Right.
So it looks at those logs and then recreates the processes virtually. But we also all know that on average, employees spend no more than about 30% of their time in ERP solutions. So they tend to be quite limited in their scope. Then you get task mining, which is capturing data from the employees' desktops. And the problem with task mining solutions to date have been that they can only do that for a very limited number of people, limited number of desktops. So you don't get that kind of enterprise-wide, you know, visibility that you might seek. So this is why at KYP.ai, we talk about productivity mining or productivity 360, because firstly, we are able to capture information from thousands of desktops. So we can literally do that at scale. And it's all about the interactions between people, processes, and technology. So all those three dimensions we can produce insights on. And if you have that kind of grant and have that at industrialized levels, at a very also grant at very granular level, then you can make informed decisions, which you weren't able to do previously. You had to go by gut feel. So you've harvested the low-hanging fruit by automating the things that are very clearly needing automation. Those were the easy things to do. Then it comes to, well, what do we do next? With insights from the process intelligence that we provide, you can actually make informed decisions. You can actually say, okay, so this bit here is ridiculously convoluted and we need to simplify it. There are shift works here that are badly planned and we're leaving capacity free in this team while this other team is totally stretched. Or that this technology is performing suboptimally, you know, there is too much network latency, this application isn't responding, people are having to wait, you know, we have seen cases of where people are having to wait for 30 minutes to get a response from an application, and that's completely unacceptable. So that's why I say productivity 360. You can see the people dimension, like the shift works, the, you know, work allocations and how much time it takes to do things. Then you can see what the process is doing, whether it's ridiculously convoluted, it's full of bottlenecks, and also whether the technology that's supposed to be supporting those processes and the people are up to scratch, if they're actually performing. So the reason I actually joined KYP.ai was because when I wrote my book, I realized that data was going to be fundamental to the autonomous enterprise. it was through data that they could become autonomous. And it is through data that they also spot opportunities for innovation, improvements, and so on. So here we are. So here I am talking to you as the chief technology evangelist.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, I'm also an evangelist of this process intelligence space, if you will, because, yeah, like you mentioned, process mining, task mining, there's been an evolution, and especially with AI and ability to decipher a lot of data from multiple computers, it's mind-boggling what we can do to decipher or understand the processes, which I wish I had when I was implementing automation, you know, like 6-7 years back when we would started doing automation, we would actually go to a subject matter analyst in that space or a process expert and ask the person, and they will tell you what it is. We'll come back and do the automation, and then we go back and show them, and they'll say, "Yo, you missed that. You missed this." So
yeah, and that is exactly what I mean. That's going by the feeling of that person, whereas you know, behind the scenes, there may be other issues. So if you've got a slow computer system, it might be that people think, oh, it's the application that's at fault, but actually it might be network latency. And then you create a robot to automate that process, and you just bombard it with even more demand. Yeah. So it comes to a halt. So it's really important to find the right causes of issues and address them. And so hence the, you know, my approach, which is to do it empirically, going by data.
Yeah. And also, it's just one person that we are talking to, whereas multiple people are doing it differently. And some people are probably doing it much more efficiently. And so there's so many ways things can be done. And with data, as you say, you know, it becomes much more easier or much more predictable in terms of what processes we are automating. And not only that, I think we can also start monitoring these things, right? Once you automate, you can start monitoring it and seeing how to continuously improve and evolve this, right?
Absolutely. So you can see whether the changes that you've made are delivering results or whether something else needs improving. You can also then measure before and after and then be on the lookout for continuous improvement opportunities as well. So, you know, really incredible amount of insight that we never had before. So, you know, we are very lucky to be now able to tap data like this.
And you know, companies like KYP and others in the field is creating that data so that, you know, it's basically capturing what work is being done in each enterprise so that we can use it for much more. It's not just automation, you know, it can be used much more as we bring in LLMs and the new powerful AI into the organization. I think this capability could help a lot in terms of making the organizations more efficient and more robust, right? So as this LLMs come into this organization, how do you think that's raising the bar for productivity within intelligent automation?
Well, I'm seeing some really interesting developments. First of all, we can automate things that we couldn't automate before, things like content creation. So creative processes have come into the scope of automation now. And we all know how people are using it, you know, whether it's to answer questions for their homework, students and so on, or people creating content for websites, actually creating websites. It's just phenomenal what is going on. But it's not just that. What I'm seeing is that intelligent automation vendors are making their products better. So not only can you automate more things, more tasks, you can also improve the intelligent automation solutions. So the kind of features that I'm seeing added include such as automatic translation and summarization. They're being added to intelligent automation solutions that would benefit from that kind of thing. I'm also being told by some vendors that it's actually reducing the amount of training that the intelligence solution requires, but that's something I'm going to understand a bit more. I can talk about it too much.
Okay. Okay. No, it's great that you talk about summarization and, you know, the creation, generation, because I think those are some of the things, with, especially with this LLM models, which is text-based model. Those are some of the capabilities that, you know, even I see coming in. Like you can automate writing an email, for example, right? And then a person in the loop can check whether the email is right, but, you know, you can at least generate the first draft of the thing, or you can summarize something for executive. They'll get so many reports, you can get a morning briefing. So, and this, like that, we have identified some key areas where LLMs are being applied. So having seen through this, do you have any compelling use cases that you can share with us, with our listeners, on productivity 360, right? Yeah.
Yes, certainly. Well, as we are on the subject of LLMs, maybe I could just mention a small case study which has highlighted phenomenal results from using ChatGPT. And this is about a pharma team of 13 people that have decided to spend about half an hour a day, a week, I think, half an hour a week to use ChatGPT to fill in pricing templates.
Okay.
And as a result, they're gaining something incredibly high, something like 50 hours of manual effort saved a week. And their equivalent team of the same number of people doing the same job, but in a different team that's continuing to do everything manually, is now way behind in terms of productivity. So 50 hours a week is a really significant saving. And it's sort of been measured by the platform, by KYP.AI. Another one is a much bigger case study. This is a global freight and forwarding company, a logistics company that has invested in KYP.AI for its shared services business in some part of the freight organization. And they have five centers around the globe, dotted around the globe. They have something like over 600 different services that they deliver. They've got over 4,000 FTEs. And because they've invested heavily in robotic automation as well, they have something like 500 virtual FTEs, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And to maintain a competitive edge, they need to make sure that they're pricing things well. And one of the key performance indicators for them was the cases that have been processed, they've been put through. So they deployed KYP.AI, and because of their large robot landscape, they also combined it with some kind of orchestration platform from another vendor, and they're able to get huge insights on this global capability, so they can actually measure the time spent processing each of these cases, and then accurately, you know, their pricing has basically improved significantly. And at the same time, they've deployed this NASA-like console of operations, live operations powered by KYP.AI, and they're able to see their processes at granular level while also really doing it at such a large scale. And that's resulted in a lot of simplification of processes, more automation. And overall, I think they're talking something like more than 5% savings achieved so far, but, you know, I expect that will build up and they will get a lot more. But they've also been able, you know, I talked about the human angle, they, you know, they've been able to improve their management of their resources and allocation of resources better as well.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, and I like the NASA like dashboard, because
yeah, I love it too. The pictures are great. Yeah,
paints a great picture. So we also, you know, when we were implementing automation, we used to focus on dashboards, because that gives people a visual in terms of what's actually happening out there, right? So one thing, we did talk about process complexity and, you know, how that impacts intelligent automation, and that's a big one. I say that's the biggest one. But we also, I think with KYP, you can also get to see the people aspect and technology aspect, right? So what do you think are some challenges in that area that, you know, getting solved, because they can see people, process, and technology together?
Well, I think you need to understand what the solution is telling you. So in some cases, we give the direct recommendation for automation, you know, where there are clear cases for automation and also make recommendations for the type of solution to be used, including ChatGPT. So, you know, very sort of up to date as far as tools go. Otherwise, you know, you do have to interpret the data and decide, you know, how to fix things. And importantly, you know, you can get that 360 degree view. So, you know, you can see and make a decision about what to do first, which bit to improve first, and, you know, prioritize things as well. I don't know if I've answered your question. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, to a good extent. So, you know, so the 360 degree view, whether it is people, process or technology, I think it's a great capability coming in, right? Because especially with this explosive technologies or exponential technologies that's going to come in, we need some help in terms of, okay, you know, these are my processes and the processes are getting ever complex. The technologies are getting ever complex, right? And then there's the people element. And like we mentioned earlier, the people element is where there's a decrease in the workforce actually, and then people not wanting to do the mundane work that we were doing earlier. So we have this, what do you call, these conditions coming together, and so I'm looking for a term, but I'm not getting it. but all this,
I can help you with that. Absolutely. So basically, I don't know if you've heard of the concept of flow, which is when people get right into flow, productivity goes up significantly, because first of all, they've got the right mix of challenging, interesting, enjoyable combination of tasks to do. And basically, what we are hoping to do is help companies see that. And it's not difficult from our data to see that. So you can see that, you know, some teams are working really long hours, they're really stretched, they have hardly any free time at all, any breaks during the day. Some are working long hours into the evening, other teams not so, because they've got more capacity or the demand for their work isn't as high. So you can make, you know, you can reallocate people and you can manage, you know, what I said about allocation of resources and capabilities better. And so, you know, you can make life easier so people aren't stressed because they're so stretched that they can't take a break, right, and are working long hours, and, you know, help them get into flow. And then you get massive uplift in productivity.
Yeah. And so the word I was looking for is perfect storm.
Oh, right, right.
The perfect storm of exponential technologies, complex processes, as well as dwindling people availability, resource availability, so which we have to use everything in the right manner. And so such tools like what you're providing, I think helps the organizations in deciding what's the right technologies to use, what is the right ways to organize a team, ways to automate, ways to optimize a process. So I think that this productivity 360 or whatever we may call it is a very efficient tool in the right time and the right place. So let's look ahead right now. So we've been talking about, you know, what's happening right now. So, but as we look ahead, what do you see as the future? I know it's so difficult even today, like, you know, every month there is a big change coming. So it's very difficult to look in the looking glass and say what's going to happen. But from where we are right now, where do you think we will evolve in terms of not just automation, but this whole perfect storm of, you know, of this all technologies coming together, which is AI and the whole hyper automation that we are talking about, including, you know, the process intelligence and the RPA and things like that? And how do they all come together, and how do you see that changing the enterprise landscape?
Well, I think that's literally the subject of my book, which is The Autonomous Enterprise. You know, it's sort of...
Go read the book, right?
Yeah, we're steadily moving towards the autonomous enterprise. And what I mean by that is not that there won't be any humans in the enterprise. I don't mean that at all, because, you know, all these automations, the AI, anything that you've got that is intelligent and is automating processes will need monitoring and managing. So it's not like they're going to be no humans in the enterprise, but, you know, we'll do away with those repetitive tasks that people don't like doing. And as you said, the younger generation don't want to be stuck in an office and doing repetitive data entry type work. But, you know, we will also have huge new opportunities, because by Using more technology, we're getting more data, and the data, if we analyze it and look at it, will bring us new opportunities. So you can throw a load of data at an algorithm and see what new product opportunities there are, what new service opportunities there are, what are people, your customers responding to, what they're not responding to. So I think it's a really exciting time, and we shouldn't get stressed about it, but we should actually look at the ways that we can take advantage of this fabulous range of technologies that are coming in and, you know, get ahead of competitors. If we don't do it, others will. I mean, you know, we've seen how new companies have emerged that are entirely electronic and, you know, online and automated, and, you know, they will soon overtake others. And, you know, often in very crowded markets, you think there are no opportunities, but there always are opportunities.
True, true, true. And, you know, the digital first companies, as you say, is probably the future, right? And so probably we, and I keep saying this, will we lose jobs? Yes, we will. And we will have digital first companies. But as you say, rightly, we will have so many new jobs, an explosion of new jobs with this, you know, availability of data, availability of these technologies, that we don't even know which our jobs are going to come up. And probably there'll be much more opportunities as we go. So,
One area that I would like to mention is the combining, the coming together of digital and physical, because, you know, we're going to be able to control physical objects remotely much better. And so, you know, there's a whole load of opportunities in that space, you know, just from looking, caring for the elderly to, you know, farming and all kinds of other things. You know, it's going to be massive.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. And yeah, that's an interesting term. I'd not heard that before, phygital. So yeah, there's a whole phygital arena. And also, I think there's a pure digital area also coming up, because, you know, we've been living in physical world, we're now going to a phygital world. And then I think there will be completely new worlds. I mean, if Meta or the metaverse is going to come in, and then we got to completely build this virtual worlds out there, and then you would need probably much more people to build virtual worlds. So I don't know, but that's one of the other things that I'm excited about. So Sarah, before we go, this was an awesome talk. Thank you so much. Before we go, where can people find and connect with you?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm also on Twitter as Sarah Burnett. So please message me if you have any questions, or just reach out to me. I do blog. I write a lot of blogs, and you can leave comments for me on the kyp.ai blog site as well.
Great, great. And I'll leave a link to your LinkedIn and Twitter, as well as a link to your book, Autonomous Enterprise, so that people can check that out as well. Sarah, thank you so much. This was an interesting chat.
Thank you very much. Super to talk to you.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you're consuming your podcast. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you are there, feel free to explore more free digital automation resources and more. See you next time.